Nicolas Maduro assumed the role of acting Venezuelan president in 2013, immediately after the death of socialist leader Hugo Chavez. Shortly after, he narrowly won a special presidential election and has ruled the country since. A former bus driver and union organizer, Mr. Maduro rose through the ranks, having served as foreign minister and vice president. His time in office has been dominated by a severe economic crisis marked by hyperinflation, shortages of food and medicine, as well as the collapse of oil production. Now, these events triggered the mass migration of millions of Venezuelans. Mr. Maduro's re-elections have been widely disputed by opposition parties and international observers, who accuse his government of authoritarian rule and human rights abuses. His administration denies the allegations. While supported by allies including Russia and China, many Western nations do not recognize Mr. Maduro's mandate, leaving Venezuela deeply divided at home and isolated abroad. And for more, Chedimir Nestorovic joins us live. He's a professor of geopolitics at Essex Business School. Professor, thank you for joining us. Now, how unprecedented is the capture of a foreign leader by U.S. forces? And what risks does this set in terms of international law and global norms?
Good evening. So it was a huge surprise to watch and also to hear about the capture of President Maduro. But it is not completely unprecedented, because many years back, the President Noriega has also been captured by the United States, and he spent many years in prison. I presume that they will use absolutely the same approach, that is, by looking for the people who are responsible for the narco traffic. And they have identified President Maduro as one of the main people who are involved in the narco traffic to the United States. They will bring him to the United States. Probably they will judge him, and maybe he will serve in prison in the United States. This is how I see that it is going to unfold.
Now, what could be the immediate impact on the wider region?
So the immediate impact is not so strong, because, of course, President Maduro is an icon for the left-wing governments, but also for the left-wing parties worldwide. But on the other side, the principle of realism will prevail, that no one will go against the United States. And since, as you have mentioned, he's also lacking some legitimacy within the country itself, they will not create many problems for the U.S. so far, if everything stays at the same level. If there is a full-scale invasion or something else, of course, the situation will be different. But if it stays only with the capture of President Maduro, I don't think that in the region there would be big problems for that.
Now, with Mr. Maduro's fate unknown, how do you expect things to unfold inside Venezuela?
So that's a big uncertainty that we have, because it is amazing how you are sending the Delta Force in one country and you are capturing the president of the country without the army opposing to this, or maybe some parts of the army were cooperating with the United States. So we have to see how the army on one side will react, but you also have to see how the population will react to this. So for the moment, it is uncertain. We have to wait for a few hours in order to see what will happen there. But probably, when we look at the situation concerning the army, the situation is not as clear as it stands.
Now, the White House says this was a large-scale strike involving U.S. law enforcement and military assets. Does this effectively put America at war with Venezuela?
I don't think that it is putting America at war, because according to them, they will label this as an action against the narco-traffics. And we didn't see the United States willing to have a regime change in Venezuela. So this is another uncertainty. How are you looking for non-regime change if you are capturing and exfiltrating the president of the country? But on the paper, the United States doesn't want to have a regime change. So maybe the vice president will take power, or maybe We can also imagine that there would be a deal with Nicolas Maduro, and maybe to some extent he can also come back to Venezuela. But this is highly improbable.
Now, Mr. Trump has accused Mr. Maduro of running a narco-terrorist state, but the leader says Washington wants to control Venezuela's oil reserves. What does the U.S. want to achieve here?
So the Venezuelan oil reserves are the biggest in the world. So automatically, we cannot dismiss the idea that the United States would like to have also to have some hands, to put some hands on these reserves. For the moment, this is not what is proposed, but we cannot evacuate this idea. And if it is not directly the United States, at least for some American oil companies, coming back to Venezuela is certainly an idea that they would like to entertain.
Now, what legal authority would the U.S. president need to capture a sitting foreign head of state? And what questions does this raise about congressional approval?
So, in fact, during the first presidency of the United States, a federal tribunal from New York, from Manhattan, has already accused and also convicted Nicolas Maduro for cooperating with the narco traffics. And so previously, Donald Trump has also put a price on his head who can bring him back to the United States. So I think that they will use this judiciary excuse or a pretext in order to bring Nicolas Maduro back to the United States. And this will be, let's say, the legal justification for that.
Well, many thanks for sharing your insights. You've been listening to Chetumen Nestorovich in Singapore, professor of geopolitics from Essec Business School in Asia Pacific. Thank you.